Amen. He saw it in the realm of the spirit, and he, by faith, without a pastor, without anything, he said, we're going to start a church in San Antonio. And he left Austin. They made flyers, and I invited everybody to come. And yours truly saw the flyer, and I showed up, you know. And before I knew it, I was being congratulated. I said, sir, I'm not really sure what you are saying, but in America, I came to make money. I came for the dollar. I didn't come for preaching, you know, but all of that is history now, almost 10 years. So please welcome with me to the podium this morning, the Zonal Coordinator, Texas Zone 7, Pastor Doyin Oke. Amen. You're welcome, sir. Thank you,
sir. Yes, sir. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I said, praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I didn't say praise Pastor Koye. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. And then you can now praise yourself as you sit down in the Lord's presence. Hallelujah. What an awesome God we serve. An awesome, awesome God we serve. Father, I just want to say thank you for an awesome day. Thank you for bringing us here this morning. Many slept last night but did not wake up this morning. Many woke up this morning but as at 11 a.m. they're already dead. But by your grace and your grace alone, we are still alive. We are well, we are free. And we are in your house. Daddy, thank you. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
I want to thank God for our daddy and mommy, Adeyemi. I want to be the first one to wish you happy birthday, sir. You're most welcome. And or maybe you are the one welcoming me because thank you for welcoming me. And mommy, you're most welcome also. You're welcoming me. I accept the welcome in Jesus' name. You know, I'm glad to see everybody here. I'm glad to see Pastor Koye and the Honorable First Lady. Come on, let's give Jesus a hand, I bet. And I also see the good things that you are doing in San Antonio. See the good thing that the Lord is doing in San Antonio. To him be all the praise and all the glory.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Again, I'm not a man of protocol, so this is not really my part. You know, my part is in the word, so I'll get into the word very, very quickly. But I have one of my people from Austin with me, Brother Dumo, is actually one of our ushers and also my PA, you know. So you can welcome him. I believe I have a word of encouragement and a word of prophecy for the church today. Amen?
Amen.
I was telling Pastor Koye, God is going to help me and I need his help. How many of us don't need the help of God? You don't need the help of God. I need the help of God because I'm compressing a three-part message into one. Into one. Why don't you bow down your head and say, Father, I have left the comfort of my home. I have left my job. I have left my business. I am on this mountain with you. Not to be entertained, but to be blessed of you. Send your word to me. Let me hear you clearly. Father, go ahead and pray for just one more minute. Ask him to send his word to you. You've left everything behind. In the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, your children have asked you to send your word. Send it to them, O Lord. In the name of Jesus. My message this morning is titled, Keep Moving. So please, help me tell you about
Keep Moving.
Lives move so quickly. And I can't believe it's almost 10 years that we came to San Antonio without knowing anybody. We just heard The Lord just told us back in Austin that go to San Antonio. We had not found our feet. We had just, the church in Austin had just been planted. Maybe that was our first year or the second year. We were still trying to find our feet. And the Lord said, go to San Antonio. We don't know anybody in San Antonio. So we came and Pastor Koye said, we printed flyers, we went to a hotel. I said, Lord, you must give us a sign that indeed you want us to do this. So the hotel that we went to, the lady that was taking us around to look at all that we'll be using for services, actually in that hotel that same day that we went there, two people gave their life to Christ. So I said, Lord, this is a sign that indeed you want us here. Went to the African store, we pulled the flyers there, and the following Sunday we came to San Antonio. And lo and behold, Pastor Koye showed up with the first lady and the family. Said this, we saw the flyer that there's a church meeting here today. I said, yes. Okay. You know. And like he said, the rest is history, because I said, Lord, I am not moving to San Antonio. You have to if you have to create a new pastor from the scratch for San Antonio, you have to create him. You know. And he told me everything that he had done, all the exploits. I said, okay, you are the pastor here. You know, so I'm handing over to you. You know, and I thank God that God has used him tremendously with your support and with the support of Pastor Joyce. Why don't you give the Lord a clap offering this morning? So, this is like your 10th year anniversary message that I'm bringing in February. Amen? I know it's coming up in June, but you're hearing this in February. And to someone here this morning, the Lord said, I should tell you, keep moving. Life moves so quickly, and as we continue our journey in life, we must not be stagnated, we must not be satisfied with where we are, we must keep moving. And especially this year, if you're going to end this year in style, you've got to keep moving. So this morning, quickly, we're going to look at the journeys of the children of Israel from Egypt to the promised land. And we're going to learn some lessons from their experiences. The story of Israel as they move from Egypt to the promised land is a story of movement. They keep moving and moving and moving. And this year, you will move forward in Jesus' name. Amen. I say you will keep moving in the name of Jesus. Amen. For the rest of your life, you have to learn to keep moving, because if you don't move, you're going to get stuck in life. And you will not get stuck in life. Turn with me your Bibles quickly to the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 33, and I'm going to be reading from verse 1 to verse 9 quickly. Numbers 33 captures in a summary form the movement of the children of Israel up to a point, not the entire story. It doesn't capture the entire movement, but movement to a point. So let's read the first 9 verses of Numbers 33. These are the journeys. Please notice the plural. These are the journeys of the children of Israel who went out of the land of Egypt by their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. Now Moses wrote down the starting points. Please take note of the plural also there. Now Moses wrote down the starting points of their journeys at the command of the Lord. And these are their journeys according to their starting points. Verse 3, quickly. They departed from Ramesses in the first month, on the 15th day of the first month, on the day after the Passover. The children of Israel went out with boldness in the sight of all the Egyptians. Verse 4, for the Egyptians were burying all their firstborn, whom the Lord had killed among them. Also on their gods the Lord has executed judgments. Then the children of Israel moved from Ramesses and camped at Succoth. They departed from Succoth and camped at Etham, which is on the edge of the wilderness. They moved from Etham and turned back to Pi Hahiroth, which is east of Baal Zephon, and they camped there at Migdol. They departed from before Hahiroth and passed through the midst of the sea into the wilderness, went 3 days' journey in the wilderness of Etham and camped at Marah. They moved from Marah and came to Elim. At Elim were 12 springs of water. Please continue. 12 springs of water and what?
3, 4, and 10.
And they did what? They did camp there. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in the name of Jesus. This is not the end of the narrative of their journey. But in these 9 verses, you see a lot of movement. A lot of movement. They move from one place to the other, and they keep moving and keep moving and keep moving. The story of the movement of Israel is the story of movement of people. When you set out in life, you are not going to just set out from one destination, from one point and end the next day at your destination. For instance, Salvation Center San Antonio started from, what's the name of that hotel again? Ameri Suites. Oh, yes. Because where we also started in Austin was Ameri Suites. So, naturally, when we came to San Antonio, we just went to Ameri Suites Hotel. I think it's been sold now. Okay. So, and from Ameri Suites, you move to where? Jackwood. And from Jackwood, you are where? Please don't get excited yet, because this is not your final destination.
Amen.
That is why I'm here today.
Amen.
The reason I'm here today, if this is all I will say, is that please, this is not your final destination. I can actually finish now and go. I've done my bit. This is just a bus stop. Tell anybody this is just a bus stop. I know you are excited, but it's just a bus stop. It is a bus stop. So in between where you start and where you end, there's going to be a lot of movements. There's going to be a lot of movements. Movement from place to place, from town to town, from house to house. Some of you, if we check the sole of your feet, we'll see the map of the world there. You've been to Germany, to Brazil, to Mexico, to Spain, to Italy, to Peru, just to land in America. And in America, you may be sent back to Nigeria. And then when you get to Nigeria, they will send you, go back to where you're coming from. Amen? A lot of movements, from house to house, town to town, from one state to another, and from one situation to the other. There will be movements spiritually and movements mentally. It is the story of life. Some of you have moved maybe 5 places, maybe 5 cities. Since you came to San Antonio, maybe you have changed houses 3 times. You've changed addresses 2 times, 5 times. You have moved. The story of life is about movement. So we see in the story of Israel that they were always moving. As a matter of fact, the name that was given to the children of Israel, they were called what? Hebrews. You know why they were called Hebrews? Hebrews means strangers. They were strangers. Anywhere they go to, they be called stranger. They move from that place, they move to another place, stranger. They move from this place to another place, stranger. So they were called Hebrews because they were always moving. How many Hebrews are in the house today? Because you are going to move from that place to a bigger place.
Amen.
I say you're going to move from this place to a bigger place.
Amen.
You are going to move from where you are now to a bigger place.
Amen.
In the precious name of Jesus. People call them Hebrews because they were always moving and they never settled anywhere. Their name became synonymous with movement. They were strangers constantly on the move. Maybe you feel like a Hebrew in life, always a stranger, always moving. Welcome to the club, because that is the club where you belong to, a club of people that are moving and moving forward in life. Movement is not negative. Movement is positive. And I'm going to show you quickly five things that I believe that this passage that we read in Numbers 3 will teach us. The first thing quickly we note in that passage is that they took notes of their starting points. Pastor Koye, please take note of that. And every one of us, take note of your starting points. If you're going to see progress in your life, you have to take note of your starting points. Why was it easy for us to remember where Salvation Center San Antonio started from? Because we took note of the starting points. Salvation Center San Antonio started from a hotel called Ameri Suites. Even that hotel is no longer, someone else has bought it, but we remember. Pastor Koye remember. Pastor Joyce remember. Take note of your starting points. Take note of your starting points. Verse 2 says, Numbers 33, verse 2. Now Moses wrote down the starting points of their journeys at the command of the Lord. Moses wrote down the starting points of their journeys at the command of the Lord. Moses always noted where they started from. That's interesting. Not only did he write them, as I said, note the plural, because there were many starting points. Today, here in Morbid 57:11, it's another starting point. Amen? Where you are in life today is another starting point. Note it. Jot it down. Keep a journal. Note the starting point. That's the only way you can know whether you have made progress in life or not. Anytime the children of Israel settled somewhere, Moses noted, on this day, at this time, we settled here. And anytime they are moving, he took note of the conditions they were. How many men were in the congregation? How many women were there? How many children were there? When you move to San Antonio, whoever you are, how much was in your pockets? How much did you have in your savings account? How much do you have in your checking? How much did you have in your checking account? How much do you have now? When you left Jackwood Drive, how many people were in Jackwood? How many men were in your congregation? How many women were in your congregation? How many children? How many teenagers? When you moved to Mobile Street or Mobile Drive, how many people do you have now? Take note of your starting points. That's the only way you can measure progress. If you don't take note of your starting point, the truth is that you'll be discouraged because you are only seeing where you are now. You will not remember where you are coming from. Remember where you are coming from. How many of us have made progress in life? Praise the name of the Lord. That is why it is always important to take note of your starting points, because it helps you to measure your progress and to appreciate how far God takes you. 2013, mid of February, I tell you, I can look back and say, God has been so good. And it's just 6 weeks or 7 weeks thus far. And I can look back, 7 weeks, 6 weeks, and the Lord has been good. The Lord has been good. Because I can look back, because I took note where I started on January 1st. I took note where I started. I checked my accounts. This is what I had. I had 3 children on January 1st. I still have them. They're not dead. Amen? They were alive January 1st. They are still alive. They were not in the hospital on January 1st. January 17th, they have not been to the hospital. Amen? You take note of your starting points. If you don't take note of your starting points, you cannot appreciate how far you have come. In life, you start from one point, you aim at another point, and in between one point where you started from and where you are going, there's a distance. There is a distance. Sometimes you look at yourself and you have not arrived at where you intended to arrive, and you say, I have not made progress. That is not true. You have made progress. You have made progress. I want to encourage that young man. You have made progress. You have made progress. Don't look at yourself and begin to compare yourself with another person. You have indeed made progress. Young woman, you have made progress. You may not have arrived at your destination, but look at where you're coming from. Look at your life 20 years ago. Look at your life 30 years ago. Look at your life 10 years ago. Look at your life 15 years ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. 3 years ago, you were not married, but now you are married. 2 years ago, you were not married. 2 years ago, you had no child, but now you have a child. 6 months ago, you had issues with your parents-in-law. You did not know how your mom-in-law, your dad-in-law would treat you. But now you look back 6 months and you say, wow, God has been so good, because now you are at peace with your in-laws. Hasn't the Lord been good? So take note of your starting point. You may be in transition, because between where you start from and where you are going to is a distance. Where you are now is not your final destination. You are still in transition. You are at a bus stop. Amen? You are not where you used to be, and yet you are not where you are going to. And you are not where you are in the past. So Moses, anytime they started, would write a note indicating their starting point so he could measure their progress. Amen? Number two, quickly, because of time, I'm rushing through, let me just still go back to number one. Moses had been told that they were going to the promised land. They were not in the promised land yet. They are moved from Ramses and they are in Succoth. Succoth is not the promised land, but Succoth is not Ramses. Succoth is not Ramses, it's not the promised land. It's in between. They left Ramses, they arrived at Succoth. He took note. They are not in the promised land, but they are moved from Succoth and they are somewhere else. They haven't arrived yet, but they are making progress, little by little. I think I preached that message once here. Yeah, little by little. Little by little, you will get to where God intends you to get to. In the precious name of Jesus. You need to have landmarks. Celebrate each landmark. For instance, let's assume that you are going to Dallas. I always try to drive to Dallas. If you fly, you probably will not see any landmarks because everything is just blank. So you will not be able to measure any progress. But if you are driving, by the time you get to Austin, you know that you have made some progress. You have left San Antonio, but where are you going to? Dallas. By the time you get to Temple, you have left San Antonio. Are you yet in Dallas? No. But you look at Temple, you've made some progress. By the time you get to Waco, you realize that you have made some progress. You get to Waxahachie, you have made some progress. You begin to enter downtown Dallas. You know, I've come very far. Very far. That is the story of life. You make progress little by little. Little by little. That's why sometimes when I am traveling, flight is a lot easier, shorter, but I'm an impatient person. That's like, have I made any progress? But when you are flying, just look at the sky. It's just, there's no landmark. You can't see any tree. You can't see 45 miles. You can't see anything. And you are looking. You are looking. But when you are driving, you see trees. You see buildings. You see landmarks. Okay, yes, I'm making progress. I'm making progress. Celebrate the landmarks in your life. Celebrate the landmarks in your life because you may never see those landmarks again. Celebrate those landmarks. Amen? So this weekend, we're going to be celebrating 78. Amen? We're not excited about that. So don't settle where you are. You are still in transition and you are moving forward. Number two, the second thing we note from the journey of Israel is that you must be able to take off in the sight of your enemies. Why don't you tell your neighbor, take off. Move. Look at verse 3. The children of Israel, Numbers 33, verse 3. The children of Israel went out with boldness in the sight of all the... Do we have the message on the screen? Do we have the passage on the screen? Yeah. They moved out boldly. They went out boldly in the sight of all the Egyptians. That is quite a formidable statement. It gives you the impression that the Egyptians were looking on. Pharaoh was angry. The generals were angry. The Bible says that they were burying their firstborns. They were burying them. And that is when Israel decided to move. I can imagine Pharaoh gnashing his teeth. What's wrong with these people? We've been here, you've been here for 430 years, and suddenly you are moving. But the Bible says that they moved out boldly. Tell your neighbor, move with boldness. Your enemies may not like it. But you have to move. People want to keep you where they are. You have been tenants for the same. Come on, the children of Israel have been in Egypt for 430 years. Do you think Egyptians wanted them to move? No! But they had to move. There's somebody here this morning, you are moving forward.
Amen.
Your boss may not like it, your manager may not like it, your supervisor may not like it, but you are moving forward.
Amen.
And as you move forward, you will take over the job of your supervisor.
Amen.
You don't believe it? Let me tell you something. 3 years ago, I spoke a word of knowledge in our church in Austin. I said, there's someone here, you will take over the job of your director. And people are like, what's this guy saying? But my wife knows me, so she took it. She shouted a big amen. To the glory of God today, our former director, she's actually sitting as the director of the department where she used to be a manager. And she's the director of that department. Her former boss now reports to her. Yes. Ask her. Her former boss reports to her. If you don't believe it, by the unction of the Holy Ghost, it will happen to you. You may be seated. Dumo, am I right or not? She gave the testimony, and I know her because she lives with me. You will take over the position of your boss.
Amen.
Because you are going to move forward.
Amen.
You will not be stagnated.
Amen.
So I am declaring to you, move with boldness.
Amen.
Listen to me carefully. Look at me intently. You are not ordinary. Jesus left everything in heaven just because of you. He shed his precious blood just because of you. Why must you settle for anything less? So when God says move, you move because he has gone ahead of you.
Amen.
He's gone ahead of you. So when he says move, you move.
Amen.
Do you know the problem with us? And that was the first message I wanted to give. But because of time, I'll just quickly. Why are you here? What are you doing here? What are you doing in San Antonio? What are you doing in Texas? What are you doing in the United States of America? Listen to me. You can come to church every Sunday. If you are not making progress in life, you have wasted your life. You can come to church 7 days a week. If you are not impacting your community, you are wasting your life. How can people know that you have a God when you don't have a testimony? And the testimony I'm talking about is where you take over the job of your supervisor.
Wow.
And that supervisor now reports to you. That same person, after we have fasted, that is, see that. After we have fasted in January, Daniel fast. And then we are going on another fast. Worldwide fast. One person in my wife's office say, I'm doing Lent this year because of you. I saw you fasted the whole of January. And you're also fasting this month again. I'm going to do Lent because of you. Let me tell you something. Churchianity is not Christianity. Make an impact where you are working. We need marketplace Christianity. It's not enough to come to church on Sunday and dance and do all the gymnastics on Sunday and we don't make an impact on Monday. We go submarine on Monday. We remain in the submarine on Tuesday. Can you boldly talk about Jesus Christ to your colleague at work? Let me tell you something. I shared this quickly at Grace Pavilion before we came here this morning. Nobody in America, and I repeat it, and you can quote me anywhere, nobody in America will fire you for talking about Christ in your office. Nobody. Tell your neighbor,
be bold.
My wife is a director of a federal government agency, director of finance, and she organizes Bible fellowship prayer in her office. And yet, some of you are too timid. It's only in church that we see you talk about Christ. You go out there at that intersection, you meet someone there, you can't even introduce Jesus Christ to the person. How can you now take off with boldness in the sight of Pharaoh? And God wants you to take off boldly in the sight of Pharaoh. Many of us were too intimidated. The only place we have excitement is in the church. But God says, no! Make your church your lifestyle every day. Every day, make God. Amen? So point number two, take off boldly in the sight of your enemies. Pharaoh may not like it. Your enemies may not like it. Because you have been under servitude for 430 years, they don't want to let you go. Why are you leaving us? We've been together. We've been in the same club. We've been in the same party. We've been in the same place together. Why do you want to leave us? God says, no, I have a greater destiny for you. Tell your neighbor, move on. Keep moving. In the name of Jesus. Don't be intimidated by the presence of enemy forces. Israel left Egypt under the angry watch of the Egyptians. You may never have the encouragement of those around you. Let me tell you something. If I tell you what happened 10 and a half years before this church started, the kind of discouragement that we got, you don't know anybody. Where do you want to go to San Antonio? Even when we moved to Austin, there was so much discouragement. You don't need the approval. Many of us were looking for approval before you take a decision. You don't need any approval, brethren, you don't need any approval. The only thing you need is a word from God. And you have that word this morning. Am I speaking to someone here this morning?
Yes, sir.
Keep
moving.
Keep
moving.
Keep
moving.
Your pastor may not encourage you. Your head of department may not encourage you. Your dad may not even encourage you. Your sister may discourage you. But if God says keep, then you have to move. If you are waiting for someone to encourage you, you'll be stagnated and you'll be stuck in life. If you are waiting for approval, you'll be stuck in life. You'll be stuck. Keep moving. People will come with you to you with their depressing stories. Stories of their own failures. Some will hate for you. They will hate you for even thinking that you can do it. That you want to move. They will hate you for that. But you're a child of God. You are a son of the Most High. Please, look at yourself. Look at yourself. Man, you're a princess of the Most High.
Hallelujah.
What did I say? A princess. Sir, you are a prince, not a bastard. The Heavenly Father is your dad, is your father. If you are born again, if you're not born again, you can't imagine, you can't understand what I'm talking about. I read a book once that revolutionized my thinking completely. The Fatherhood of God. In the Old Testament, God was never known as Father. Do you know that? God was never known as a Father in the Old Testament. It was Jesus that introduced Father to us. Every time Jesus went, Jesus never referred to God as God. He referred to him as what?
Father.
I mean, of us now, thank God for Africans. When we now pray, we say, Father! But in our daily lives, we must actually see him as what? Father. He says, if you've been evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more who? Your who? Not your God. He says, your Father in heaven. Your Father in heaven. Ma, sir, do your children, do they have to beg you for new shoes before you buy them new shoes? Thank God for prayer. I like to pray. But I like for God to answer the prayers that I have not even uttered.
Amen.
Huh? The prayers that I have not uttered. Huh? Because he knows what I need. Why do you worry? Your Father in heaven knows that you have what? Needs of this thing, Matthew chapter 6. That you have needs of this thing. And let me tell you something. Your thinking is too small compared to God. For my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. So you are thinking that you need a Lamborghini. And God says, no, I'm giving you Lamborghini, I'm giving you a private jet. You are praying for Pastor's car. You are praying for Pastor's car. Lord, give me that kind of car that Pastor had. God says, you don't know what I'm your father. I know what you need. You don't need that. Praise the name of the Lord. So move. Whatever the case may be, you move. And I'm sure the children of Israel, when they were moving, they were saying things like, we know you wish us dead. You want us to be servants all the days of our life, but we are moving. Let me tell you something. I don't know if I have the freedom to say some of those things here. But let me just say this. For Christians, many of us, we are living below God's standard for our lives. And if we are not careful, we'll be subjected. Let me tell you something. The forces that be, they don't mind you gathering in church on Sunday morning. The forces that be, they don't mind you clapping your hands. The forces that be, they don't mind you doing anything that you can do on Sunday morning. But they don't want you to prosper. They don't want you to move. They don't want you to get to the top. They don't. And that is why we need consciously your prayers. Where do you have for me to move to? Consciously, that should be your prayer. They don't mind you gathering here. They don't mind you clapping your hands, scream all your heart out, sing, and they don't mind all of that. Provided you don't become a director. Provided you don't become the president of the corporation. Provided you don't have $5 million in your account.
I receive it.
They don't mind all of that. They'll just be watching you. Okay, you can do all of those things. But the moment you join the Millionaires Club, and very soon someone is joining that club.
Yeah.
I said someone here is joining the Millionaires Club. The moment you join the Millionaires Club, let me tell you something. Before you know it, FBI is watching your movement. Right. If you're a man of color, if you speak the kind of language I speak, the kind of accent, and you are in the Millionaires Club, let me keep quiet. Tell anybody,
keep moving.
You've got to learn to keep moving whether people like it or not, whether the government likes it or not. And for those who are dependent on government, oh, I pity you, man. But you will move from that place. You will move from that place. In the name of Jesus. In life, you don't die the place you are born. Mommy, can you imagine Koye dying where you born, where you gave birth to him? Eh?
No.
You are born in one place, die in another place. Amen?
Amen.
Move. Don't die in the place that you were born. Move out of your parents' house. And keep moving. Young ladies, be careful. Keep. Oh my goodness. Keep moving. Move into your own house. You've got to move. You've got to move. Move. If you are afraid of people's reactions, you will never make progress in life. They may not like it, but move on anyhow. Get on with your life. It's your life. Move on with it. If you make mistakes, let it be your own mistakes. Don't let it be your dad's mistake. Don't let it be your mom's mistake. They made their own mistake. Make your own mistakes. Make your own mistakes and learn from those mistakes. As you move, remember that God's protection surrounds you by day and by night. For the Israelites, their confidence was in the fact that God had protected them in the past. If you remember how God has protected you in the past, if you remember how God has brought you to where you are now, you have the confidence to move forward. You will have the confidence. Look at the faithfulness of God. When you had nothing, and God gave you something. So why are you afraid to move from where you are? Make that move. You know that song? Right now. This pastor, now what for you? The same God who kept you alive till now, if he could protect you up till now, why do you think he cannot protect you into the new move that you're about to make? Why do you think he will not protect you? If God can help you up till this point, what do you doubt that he can do with you? Why do you doubt him? Why do you doubt him? If God can raise you to the point where you are, why do you think this is the best he can do for you? Salvation Center San Antonio, is it the best God can do?
No.
Whatever your name is, mention your name and ask yourself the question, do you okay? Is it the best God can do? This is not the best God can do. It's not the best. You have to move. And as you move, remember that you cannot stop people from being angry. Don't even try it. Many of us, we are trying to please people. Because people are angry at you, you don't want to move. You are waiting for their approval. You are waiting for their permissions. They can't live your life for you. You've got to live your own life. You can't stop people from hating you. You want to please everybody, you cannot. You can't. It is futile. Those who hate you will hate you and even hate you with a passion. Let them hate you. Is their problem. It is their problem. You know, some people even go to church to pray for you to die. Let me tell you something, Pastor. You may not know this. There are people in San Antonio who don't like the fact that you moved to this place.
Wow.
And they have not seen nothing yet. Because you are moving from this place to a bigger place. You are moving from this place to a greater place. There are members of your church who don't like the fact that you moved here. May God expose them.
Amen.
Listen to me carefully. God says that he will prepare a table before you. So you better pray for your for enemies. Because a table will not be prepared until you have what? It is only when you have enemies that a table will be prepared. When you have enemies, God will not say, let me pray, so that your enemies will see. I don't pray for my enemies to die. No, I want them to see, so that they can glorify my God in heaven. Why don't you say, my enemies will not die before them? My God will prepare a table before me so that they can see, so that they can glorify my Father who is in heaven. So shall it be. They have to see that table. They say you will not prosper in San Antonio. It's a lie, you will prosper. They say you will not get to the top in San Antonio right before them. You will buy houses.
Amen.
You will buy businesses.
Amen.
You will buy franchises.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And if they don't like it, you will even employ them.
Amen.
I said you will employ them.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Please be seated, be seated, be seated.
Hallelujah.
All this will happen. Listen to me carefully. All this will happen so that God can be glorified. So he's not going to kill your enemies. No, 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 no. He will prepare a table in the presence of your enemies. So pray for those enemies. Come. Come on. Bring it 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 on. I've told Pastor many times that I like the ministry of enemies. Because if I don't have them, I won't bruise my knees. I won't know how to pray again. I won't know how to fast again. If I don't have them. So I like their ministry. Because I know who's got my back. I know who's got me. The life I live is not mine. Before they get me, they have to get him. People are praying that this building that you just bought will collapse, but it won't collapse. Oh, shekere busonto libaba kuru busonto baba libros. The God that has brought you this far, he will take you to the next level. God did not bring you this far to disappoint you, but to honor you. In this city of San Antonio, you'll be honored. I say, in this city, you'll be honored. The Lord is a faithful God. Please be seated. Israel went out boldly. Boldly. Please underline that. I like the scripture. I like the Bible. Not anyhow. Boldly. In the sight of the Egyptians. May you go boldly in the sight of your enemies. Amen. Number three, quickly. Pastor, yes, sir. Can I continue? Yes, sir. Okay, whatever you ask me to do, I will do, sir. Okay, thank you, sir. Amen. Okay, the third thing we notice from the children of Israel is that on your journey, you have to tackle your Red Sea. If you're going to keep moving, you have to deal with your Red Sea. Numbers 3, verse 8. That same passage, verse 8 says, they departed from before Hahiroth and passed through the midst of the sea. Tell your neighbor, I am passing through. I am breaking through. I'm say it like you mean it. I am passing through. Nobody has ever passed through the Red Sea. The Red Sea was an end point for a lot of people's journey. An end point. When you travel and you get to the Red Sea, it symbolizes the end of your journey. Naturally, that's as far as you can go. But for the children of Israel and for you people that are here in San Antonio today, they got to where people ended their journey and God caused them to pass through the Red Sea. You will pass through your Red Sea. I said you will pass through your Red Sea. And let me tell you something you may not realize about the Red Sea. Oh, wow, I like this. This is like the Red Sea. But you pass through it. The Red Sea is not like your Mississippi River. It's not like your ordinary stream or your pool that you can just walk in. You have to understand what these people went through. Just imagine Red Sea. Nobody had ever passed through it alive. And they were not on a ship. They were not in a boat. They were doing what? But God caused one side of the water to be a wall on this side and that on this side. And they have to walk through it. Can you just imagine as they were walking through? The fear and the trepidation. Can the water roll back? Will the water roll back? And with their children, will the water roll? They see the water standing. They saw it before it parted. So when they saw it's now standing, naturally, I don't know about you, but it is natural. You are wondering, God healed you from that terrible disease. And you are wondering, will it come back? It won't come back.
Amen. In the name of Jesus.
I say it won't come back. If the waters that God parted so that you can pass through, if it stayed for you, it will also stay.
Yeah.
Have you forgotten that you have a better covenant than the children of Israel? A better covenant. They didn't know God as Father. And God did all of that for them. How much more we in this covenant? You will pass through that Red Sea.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Where people stop, you will not stop.
Amen.
Where people ended, you will not end.
Amen.
Where people say it is finished, it won't be finished for you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You are going ahead. You are going forward. You are passing through your Red Sea. You will pass through it.
Amen.
You will not be consumed in it.
Amen.
Other people may have died in the Red Sea, but you will not die in it.
Amen.
If the children of Israel did not die in the Red Sea, it is impossible for you to die in the Red Sea.
Amen.
In your journey of life, there will be Red Seas, but you will pass through it.
Amen.
You have to keep moving. In the journey of life, you will always encounter Red Sea, but you will have to keep moving. Between you and your destiny stands the mighty Red Sea. The mighty Red Sea symbolizes that formidable barrier that stands between you and your destiny. It is big. It is huge. It is impossible to cross by yourself. Each one of us will be faced with our mighty Red Sea. Each one of us. What do you do? The children of Israel, they cried. When they got to the Red Sea, they cried. And it's okay to cry. But if you cry and you stand there, can you imagine what the Egyptian army that was pursuing them would have done? What would they have done? They would have crushed them there. So that is why when you get to your Red Sea, keep moving. Don't stand there and cry. They cried. Moses cried out to God, and God said, "What do you have in your hand?" And said, "Oh, this stick that I took in the wilderness is an ordinary stick. Let me tell you something, brother, there's a stick in your hand. You may not know the purple, but there's a stick in your hand. There's a stick in your hand." Up till that time, that stick was an ordinary stick in Moses' hand. "What do you have in your hand?" And God said, "Stretch it." And as he stretched it, what happened? The sea parted. May your sea depart for you.
Amen.
May your sea be parted for you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Don't stand there and cry. Because if you stand there and cry, the Egyptian army, your enemies, they have said that when you start that business, we'll see how far you can go. 2 years after you have started, the business faces a bankruptcy. Let me tell you something. Bankruptcy is not the end of life. Hello there. Bankruptcy is not the end of life. You may fight for bankruptcy and still succeed greatly in life. And of course, ultimately you make it to heaven.
Amen.
So don't cry because of a bankruptcy. Don't cry because of a failed relationship. Maybe somebody didn't greet you, didn't have something for you last Thursday. And you are crying over it. Tell your neighbor, keep moving. In the name of Jesus. You are doing great in life until the mighty Red Sea appears. Behind you are those who said they will fail. Behind you are those who say you won't make it. In front of you is the mighty Red Sea. What do you do? Do you go back? No, you don't go back. You keep moving. You keep moving. Keep moving. My computer is timing. It's already timed me out, so I need to restart it again. Since I should be done by now. Praise the name of the Lord. When you pass through after you have passed through the Red Sea, you get to a place called Mara. Number 4. I'm going to be extremely very fast now. Numbers 33. So there are 5 points, so I'm on number 4 right now. Number 3 is that you pass through the Red Sea. God, this thing is timing me out. The enemy is a liar. Okay. Go next for the next 15 minutes and I'll be done. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Red Sea may be a problem in your marriage. Maybe a broken relationship. It's not the end of life. Number four. Sometimes in life, when you are moving forward in life, when you keep moving, you come to Mara. Mara is a place of bitterness. And you, what you have to learn is that bitterness is not forever. God is able to transform the waters of Mara. The waters of Mara are bitter. Exodus chapter 15, I read three verses there. Exodus chapter 15, from verse 23 to verse 25. Still the children of Israel in their movement. When they came to Mara, they could not drink the waters of Mara, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Mara. Verse 24, and the people complained against Moses, saying, Pastor, what shall we drink? So he cried out to the Lord again, and the Lord showed him a tree. I pray that the Lord will show you a tree today. Amen. Look at this tree. Look at, just hold on. So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, where he cast it into the waters. When he cast it into the water, the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them. Along the path of life, in the journey of life, you come across some bitter experiences, some bitter waters, some bitter spots in life. Mara is a place of bitterness. The waters of Mara represent tough, bitter, painful spots along the way. It could be a bitter breakup of your relationship. It could be a bitter betrayal from someone you loved. It could be a bitter loss of something that you treasured. It could be a bitter treatment from people who did not like you. Whatever your waters of Mara represent, when you come to Mara, when you come to the place of bitterness, deep, deep bitterness will confront you. I'm going to spend a few minutes here because a lot of people don't get beyond Mara in their life because of some dark things that happen. There's a root of bitterness. The root is very deep. Very, very deep. Very, very deep. Someone betrayed you. Someone hurt you. Someone disappointed you. A business associate disappointed you, took your money and went off. Maybe it's an associate. Maybe it's a colleague. Maybe it's someone that you have not been able to forgive because of bitterness. You can't keep moving if you don't go through Mara. If you don't pass through Mara, you have to pass through Mara successfully. They cried out to the Lord. Moses cried out to the Lord. This water, we cannot drink it. It's too bitter. It's too bitter. It's too bitter. It's too bitter. We can't drink it. And God opened his eyes. I pray that God will open someone's eyes today. When God opened his eyes, what did he see? He saw a tree. Now, was the tree just planted there? The tree had been in existence even before they got to Mara. Let me tell you something. Before you go to the place of bitterness, there's a solution already waiting.
Hallelujah.
May your eyes be open to see that solution. Amen. May your eyes be open to see the solution to your problem.
Amen.
Until you see it, you can cry and cry and cry and cry and cry. There's a tree in Salvation Center San Antonio. There's a tree that will turn your marrow into sweet. There's a Mara that will turn your bitterness into sweetness. Maybe the message you are hearing this morning is your tree. You came here bitter. You came here and you've determined that you go back home bitter with your husband, with that man or with that woman or with that neighbor, with your boss, with your manager, or even maybe you are even bitter with your pastor. But there's a tree of sweetness. God says, look at that tree. Cut out of it, threw into the water. And the water became sweet. I prophesy to someone here today. In the name that is above all names. In the name that is above all names. In the name of Jesus. Every bitterness in your life will be turned to sweetness.
Amen.
Every bitter experience will be turned to sweetness.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
If nothing else. The reason that I'm here this morning is just to encourage you. Bitterness is not for life. Mara is not for life. From this day, you begin to experience the sweetness of life. In the name of Jesus. Number five, because of time. Number five. And I like this one, that's where I'm going to end. In the name of Jesus. Mara is not forever. You may taste Mara for a while, but God will take you forward to Elim. Are you still in Numbers 33? Because that's all, everything I'm taking is from there. Numbers 33. Elim is a place of refreshment. Elim is a place of restoration. After he has taken you out from bitterness of your past, you come to Elim. And the Bible says that at Elim, there were springs of water. And there were palm trees, and they camped there. Hallelujah. Who would not want to camp there? Huh? Who would not want to camp at Elim? You have been driving. Maybe you have driven 7 hours. And you are tired. You are weary. And you see a gas station and a convenience store, you just park there. While you try to fill your gas, you go to the restroom. You feel at ease. You ease yourself. You go to where they are selling some stuff. You see some drinks. You get some water. You get some Coke, some Pepsi. You know, you look around. What are you doing? You are being refreshed. May you be refreshed. For you in Salvation Center San Antonio, this is your Elim. For 9.5 or about years, you have passed through the Red Sea. You have passed through Mara. There was a time, listen to me carefully, Pastor would not mind if I say this, there was a time when Sundays I would leave Austin, I would just come and come to Pastor just to encourage him. Just to come and encourage him. Those were Mara days. Mara days. Days of bitterness. Pastor, I want to leave San Antonio. I want to go to Florida. I want to move to Florida. I want to move to Florida. These people don't like me. I don't know what's going on. I am tired. I'm weary. But God says, I'm taking you to Elim. In Elim, there are 12 springs of water and there are palm trees. Elim is a place of restoration. It's a place of refreshment. May God refresh you here in the name of Jesus. May God restore you here in the name of Jesus. For everyone that is connected to Salvation Center San Antonio, may you be refreshed at Elim. May you regain your strength at Elim. May you be restored. May you be revived. Elim is a place of revival. It's a place of restoration. It's a place of refreshment. May your dreams, may your vision come alive again at Elim. This place is your Elim. And once you leave here again, listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. When you leave here again, or even in this place, as you move on in the journey of life, you come to another Red Sea, you will pass through it again. You go to another Mara, you go through it again. Because in life, you must do what? Keep on moving. I said, you must do what? Keep on moving. In your Elim, may you be restored. May you be revived. In the name of Jesus. In Elim, you forget the sorrow of the past. You forget the bitterness of the past. You forget the backbiting of the past. The gossip of the past. Because God will restore you. Listen, the Bible said there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees. May the Lord give you understanding. When Jesus started his ministry, listen carefully to me. First of all, he appointed the 12. And then he appointed the what? 70. Listen to me, Salvation Center San Antonio. If you are not producing life, if you are not preaching the gospel of life, you're not doing God any favor at all. I leave you with this final word. 12 springs of water. The first 12 apostles. 70 palm trees. The additional 70 that Jesus. And what did he do? He sent them out two by two. May your church be known as the church of soul winning. Jesus sent them out. Elim, 12 springs of water. 70 palm trees. 12 apostles. 70 disciples. May you go out and win souls. May you go out and make disciples of all nations. In the precious name of Jesus, so shall it be unto you. Father, all eyes closed. Ora shekele brusun turi babaskun turi rababashan turi. The Lord said there are some young people in here in the house this morning or this afternoon. You look beautiful on the outside, but the inside there's some deep bitterness, some mara that you've covered up. God says he wants to heal you. Please come forward quickly if you're in that category. Some deep bitterness. Deep, deep bitterness. God says he wants to heal you. You've been disappointed. You've been burned. People have rejected you. People have abandoned you. You've been neglected. And it's so deep that you're finding difficult to heal. God wants to heal you. I'm going to call on all the ministers, pastor and pastor, mommy, sir, please, if you don't mind, I want you to just lay hands on this men and women and pray for them. They are your sons, they are your daughters. They will not move on in life, Father. They will not move on until they're able to pass through this mara. Please pray for them. Our parents in the Lord and pastor, miss, will be laying hands on you just to pray for you. Please join them quickly if you are coming out, because you will not be able to move on in life. Oh, yes, secondly, procure Muscantari Abasu. Or Rakerevo sent Alebro Sode Rebo Sakalebro Namari. Oh, Rekelebro Sotolibras.
All things new and
I
will follow you forever. Follow you.
moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you, my past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrendered my life to Christ.
Elim, you'll find rest. In Elim, you will flourish. If you thought that you are flourishing, and if I were you, whatever the Lord is saying to the pastor is saying to you. If you ever thought that you are flourishing, the Lord says, here in Elim, you will flourish beyond your imagination. I don't know what that means. He will interpret to you. But you will flourish. Amen. You will flourish. You will flourish. Amen. Church, you will flourish.
Amen.
Men, you will flourish.
Amen.
Women, you will flourish.
Amen.
Children, you will flourish.
Amen.
Students, you will flourish.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It is impossible to camp at Elim and not flourish. It is impossible to go by the spring, 12 springs of water, and 70 palm trees are not flourish. Here you will flourish.
Yeah.
Nations will come here and prosper you. They will bless you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Daddy. I need prayers too. So, Daddy, please come and pray for me. I need prayers too.
Please, the entire church has been blessed today. I want you to stretch your hand to our pastor and bless him, and bless his life, and bless his ministry, and bless his family. Let that blessing be spontaneous. Let it be from within. Thank you, Father. Glory be unto you. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Our Father, our God, today you have decided to visit your church. You have decided to bless everyone in this sanctuary today in a very special way. First, you have sent your word. Father, we have heard your word. Yes. And again, you have blessed us with your word.
Thank you,
Father, we appreciate you.
Thank you, Lord.
We honor and we adore you. Father Almighty, this is your son. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the one that prayed for Peter. We are all calling unto you to come and pray for your son.
Amen.
You are the only one that can pray for him and make the big difference.
Amen.
Father Almighty, pray for your son.
Amen.
And as the Lord liveth, so, because God is God, the God that you are serving, we remember today.
Amen.
This your ministry, we enjoy buoyancy.
Amen.
You are blessing many lives with your ministry and with the word. God will bless your life.
Amen.
You will not be destitute of the word of God.
Amen.
As you have been blessing people, you will continue to be a blessing.
Amen.
And you will continue to be blessed.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
All the challenges of your life will be a walkover.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Stagnation will not be your portion.
Amen.
You want people to advance and to move on in life. And the word of God says in 2 Samuel 5:10 that David moved on and grew great,
yes,
because God was with him.
Yes.
We declare that you will move on in life.
Amen.
You will grow great.
Amen.
And God will be with you.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
The ministry that God has committed into your hand, just as the Almighty is helping Pastor E.A. Adeboye, you will be a wonder.
Amen.
In every area of your ministry, you will enjoy God's greatness.
Amen.
It will be well with you.
Amen.
You have not seen anything yet. People will thank God on your behalf.
Amen.
People will celebrate you.
Amen.
And the heavens will celebrate you.
Amen.
That is the way it's going to be.
Amen.
In the name of the Father,
amen,
and of the Son,
amen,
and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. When it comes to the area of finance, wealth and riches will pursue you.
Amen.
You will live in the abundance of God.
Amen.
For the rest of your life.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, our Father.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' wonderful name we pray.
Amen.
Let's give the Lord a clapping offering.